two Air Force personnel from the Republic of Singapore Air Force.
How do you pee in there?
You need like perfect eyesight.
The current signing bonus now is...
I think my butt was a little too big.
What?
Is your butt too big for a pilot seat?
This is your daily catch-up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With rising geopolitical tensions around the world, we're speaking to two Air Force personnel from the Republic of Singapore Air Force. So get ready to get high, because today we have Captain Fiona and ME4 Amaran. Welcome to the show!
Welcome!
So just for some background, Captain Fiona is a C-130 pilot with 122nd Squadron, and ME4 Amaran is an Air Force engineer who specializes in the C-2 systems of the RSAF's ground-based air defense assets at the 809th Squadron.
Hey, do y'all understand what all that means?
I don't understand. I don't understand. What is C-130?
We actually call it the C-130.
C-130.
The other name for it is that it's a Hercules. Because... like Dali Shu, because it is capable of carrying very heavy loads, and it's a very versatile aircraft that can take off on like the strips, and that is why a lot of our taskings are to do with like humanitarian work.
I actually texted my dad before this, because I remember him telling me that he worked in the Air Force, and he was actually a C-130 aircraft technician for 7 years. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he called it the best cargo airplane in the world.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Why? Huh?
No, he never say anything after that.
Solid chat.
For the C-130, right, Fiona? It's like, is there like use for it in, of course, for the C-130, right, how does it operate during like, say, operations or like wartime?
Okay, I think most of our work currently is peacetime, but a lot of our work is mission-based. So, I mean, we partake in a lot of missions. Basically, we do things like airdrops and airlift missions to resupply troops and equipment, as well as search and locate missions.
So logistics win a war. That's what I've read.
True, though, yeah.
So, how did you become a female pilot? I understand that there's very few of you in Singapore.
I think there's a growing number of female pilots, but as for myself, I always had an passion for aviation since I was young, and I think what made me really get interested in flying was when I joined the Singapore Youth Flying Club.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was quite a pivotal moment for me.
I need to pay, no?
No, it's actually pretty much free. Yeah, so
anyone can join.
I wanted to be a pilot, you know. Then after that, the Youth Flying Club. I remember I saw the course fees, then I'm like, whoop, can't afford that.
No, maybe the one that you saw is like another flying club. But for the Youth Flying Club, right, there's a specific age range that you can join. Probably, I think, 16 to 18 years old. I remember the only fees I paid for were like the t-shirt and some of the course materials.
Right. Yeah, so I should give that free. Like, you fly on plane already, then t-shirt want to charge you.
Do you need like perfect eyesight, that kind?
Oh, actually, no. I think that's a very big myth that I would hope to debunk.
Oh.
Yeah, so now, right, our eyesight requirements are actually less than 800 degrees for myopia and less than 300 degrees for astigmatism. So it's actually very, very tolerant.
Oh.
Yeah, if you think about the 800 and 300.
Right.
For people who are on the borderline of these requirements, right, the RSAF actually sponsors corrective surgery for the pilot trainees.
Wait. Yeah, so,
we call it PRK. It's not LASIK. Yeah, so the important thing to note about that is, right, candidates should not undergo any corrective surgery prior to joining, because we want to maintain our medical standards.
So they only can do first, then LASIK.
Yes, they only can do our PRK procedure.
Oh.
What is a brilliant sign-on bonus? I'll take it.
Some of those with like 200 degrees, one day they don't get.
Yeah!
There's only these bonus I better than mine.
Is it like mandatory for pilots to go through that Youth Flying Club thing?
No, actually it's not. So it's really on a personal basis that I sign up for the Youth Flying Club.
Right.
In fact, there are many pilots out there whom weren't from the Youth Flying Club.
Okay, then can I apply now to be a RSAF pilot? Or cannot?
No, yes, you can apply. You can, just you won't can. Take you only.
I'm going to get flying experience then.
Yeah, actually can or not?
Can. Yeah, as in I was also a mid-career risk. So like, I didn't join in like after A-levels. I joined in after I was working in an investment bank for a period of time. And I made the switch over. So yes, definitely
you can. From an investment bank. What was the trigger? Your boss really...
I want to be in the sky.
Lola, as in...
Look out the window.
It was actually completely my fault that it took 1 year. Because one part of the process is that there will be aeromedicals, and for that portion they take down measurements of like our arm length, our torso length, as well as our hip size, like our butt size. For myself, what happened was that I think my butt was a little too big for the requirements.
Why cannot butt big?
So in the fighter cockpit it's not very spacious, right? So it's already tailored for the butt size.
So you cannot be like too tall. It cannot be too tall.
So there's also a height limit.
So you spend a year cutting.
Actually about 3 to 6 months. So they gave me a review in I think about 4 to 5 months. So they told me to go and like shed some weight in the meantime.
But like down there only.
Okay, I think a bit hard to spot loose weight. So just work out more, eat a little less.
Then you have to keep measuring whether you hit the mark or not.
Can you imagine you what? You impact with the last thing you did, like,
all your glutes
away. Just away squats.
No.
So that was a reason why it took a little longer, and I was in banking for a little longer before I joined.
Oh my God. Right.
Yeah. But the average, like, time for the application process is not typical.
It's not typical. It shouldn't take so long. It will be, if I remember correctly, it will be compass tests and interviews and aeromedicals. Yeah, if everything is smooth, it shouldn't take more than like 3 to 4 months.
What's compass test?
It's basically a test to assess your aptitude for the various vocations, not just pilots. I think for air traffic controllers, for weapons systems officers as well. So there are multiple tasks in that test that we have to do.
It's a written test lah.
No, not really. It's actually a computer.
It's words, right?
No.
It's not physical.
It's physical. So we actually have a joystick that we are supposed to use for the test. Then there are, like, it's a very specialized equipment. Basically, I think there are a few buttons around. I remember pressing. Yeah, then within that test, there's different tasks. So, like, they'll try to see whether you can multitask well. So they'll make you, like, fly a plane while at the same time doing some like mental calculations.
How
is
she supposed to do that if she applied today? She don't know how to fly anything. I mean, right?
No, but it's the fake plane. Like, you just let it.
It's just a simulated plane.
Or is it like arcade?
I guess you can say
the arcade
similar
plane like that. Like,
yeah, so there are like boxes that you have to fly through. So they want to see how
like Flappy Bird.
Without you, Flying Club also got chance to pass one lah.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
I see.
Okay.
And do you actually need to do these mental calculations now that you're on the job?
From time to time, yes. Especially when we are more junior and we have to like calculate our fuel requirements.
Isn't it a fuel bar?
No, so we need to know like how much excess fuel we have, how much overheads we have.
Right. Then C-130 got. Okay, it's a dumbest question. Got autopilot or not?
Because
I imagine presumably 5 or 6 hours, why not, right? The technology is already available.
Yes. So once we are at cruise, we are on autopilot. Yeah,
but
because
what is autopilot? Like you just press, then you just...
Yeah, I'm imagining it's one button and then poof.
Like you can just leave the seat, then go back, eat something, that kind.
Technically, we don't leave the seat. So we have two pilots. At any one point in time, there has to be a pilot whom is... on controls. Yeah, so that's only on cruise phase. So during critical phases, like we all have to be
What if both pilot need to go toilet? No, dire toilet situation.
Usually that should not happen. Right.
How do you pee in there?
Quite cool.
It's
like a romper, I guess.
You gotta take it out.
I don't know, I'm speaking from my ass.
Is there a zipper at the back or something?
I think for guys it's easier because like you can just like open that small zip, the fly to pee. But for females, right, we actually have to take out the entire... But there are pee pads around that I think it's in circulation mass market. So we currently still do not have it, but we heard that there are some air forces that actually use pee pads for females.
So you can just pee.
Yeah, it's linked to like a pee bag. So for example, I think the fighter pilots, they will require that more because they don't have a toilet. Whereas
my aircraft, they got toilet on board.
There is a toilet, just that it's a little medieval. Yeah, we call it the honey pot. So it's like basically a potty then.
It's also cute.
Then you shit and then like the shit's just gonna fly in the sky.
We will, no, so for big business, there's like a plastic bag we will use to contain it. But for like, but for females, because we were both pH in the same place, so we will just use the bag. But for guys, right, because you are using a urinal.
There's also a urinal. Wow, you mean, you see this thing,
male,
yeah.
Female side, it's like on the right, on the left.
Yeah, but the urine will be dispersed out into the air with SUP into it.
No.
Huh? There's a whole like...
It doesn't seem safe, huh? Like some commercial plane flying off.
Yeah, or like if you press droplets. The button, then the psh, then it will like that.
No, it just goes straight out.
There's a hole.
It's just a hole.
It's a urinal that's linked to a hole that's outside of the aircraft, like a outlet. It's a small tube.
I didn't know.
Now they fly above your office every single day. How do you feel?
You feel a drop in the room.
Before they land, they have to dump fuel. Literally, just dumping in the air anyway.
I mean, like both pee and fuel should evaporate before it reaches the ground you, for that matter.
But I'm sure they don't do it like over like.
Definitely, we are very careful. As in,
I mean, if you gotta go, you gotta go.
So for yourself though, did you have aspirations like when you talk about joining the Air Force? Right, at first it was you want to be a pilot first, then after that.
Yeah, I think since when I was young, because my dad shared a lot of stories when he was in the SCF, very inspiring. Okay. But as I grew older, engineering was something that I also wanted to do. And then if you weigh everything in, military career, able to work with aircrafts, able to work with sophisticated state-of-the-art technology, and also to pursue a engineering career, right? RSF is the platform. Yeah.
Mm. What about your job you think is the part that interests you the most?
I guess when you deal with state-of-the-art technology, all these GBAT systems, in short, ground-based air defense systems, it's not that something that people get to deal with day-to-day. These systems are complex in nature. Mm-hmm. And I'm a person who likes to solve issues lah.
Right.
And you know, when something happens to the system, you've got to get your hands on and really to understand what might be the problem. And you know, give that engineering assessment that is needed.
Oh, we just upgraded, right? We just upgraded our ground defense thingy,
ground
right?
Air defense
to
systems?
Esther or something like that.
Yeah, so Esther achieved his FOC in November. Yeah.
No idea. Free of charge, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's
it's not free.
Yeah, so FOC is our full operational capability.
I see.
What's Esther?
Esther 30
So like Singapore is, I mean, I read somewhere online, is the most militarized state in the world.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But yet, when you walk around Singapore, or personally, I've had the privilege to go to many military bases, right?
Yeah.
You don't see missiles pointing everywhere, though. So in a matter of like, enemy aircraft, like if you want to attack Singapore, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we got 24 hours, you know?
Okay, so.
So, well, how did
you on the spot?
Okay, not say.
Is it like you press button there, all the flowers suddenly like.
Yeah.
Like this time.
The pointy ones only. Yeah.
I mean, we will not see missiles coming up from buildings or anything, but.
Where they come out from is the question, I guess.
That's something confidential. I can't reveal missile locations. But rest assured, the RSF, you know.
No, wait. You're not doing a question. No, I'm assured, bro. I ready to die, man. No, but not exactly the location, but how does all these things come out? Like, all from your base?
Because in my head, it was always like, it's a station turret, you know, and then like from there.
Like ground defense, is it that? Like those kind of like missiles and stuff?
So for ground defense, basically, what we term it, we call it the island air defense.
Wow, sounds good.
So basically, these assets are deployed across the country.
Also, you all drive it up of sorts?
They are deployable, they are mobile.
Okay.
I'll take that as a yes. They operate 24/7. And yeah, they are they help us to, you know, quickly respond to threats.
So do you guys get deployed for overseas deployment since you are island defense? Doesn't make sense. You go and defend island.
Yeah. Yeah, we do go overseas for various exercises across the globe. La.
Go where?
Where do you want to go?
I can choose.
No, so I mean, we got long-term detachments, short-term detachments, exercises. So we get to go like Australia, Thailand,
a lot of land.
US.
Whoa.
Ooh, okay. We've also been to causes like in France, Italy. Yeah.
Right. As in France, Paris.
No.
Yeah. It's Paris.
Somewhere near Paris. You land in Paris, they give you one day, then after you go to somewhere else.
You see the Eiffel Tower? Yeah.
Did you, like, because in a foreign airspace, have you all simulated literally a giant-ass flying projectile and then you shoot an actual missile?
Of course, we do have live firing.
Yeah.
This projectile...
It's towed by a plane or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's usually towed and then you just take down that dummy.
Fun, eh? Sounds fun, eh?
Yeah,
okay, practice it.
Yeah, it's something that I guess you don't see in Singapore, lah. Yeah, and
no
of course it's not shooting anybody. Yeah, but when you
by the pilot house scare. You can ask all the training innovation.
So this is Rico Ong's first time shooting.
They're professionals, so they do this day in, day out, lah.
Yeah.
So that it's okay. I don't think they're so worried.
Having gone a lot of exercises around the world, do we match up? If the answer is no, I have to change question, okay?
I think we definitely match up because there has been a lot of examples whereby, I mean, not just like for wartime, but for peacetime roles, as I mentioned, like HADR, Humanitarian Assistance and Disaster Relief Efforts, where we are typically the first on the scene to arrive there and be able to render our help to the countries that are in need. So I think that in itself is testament to how we are capable and operationally ready.
Right.
Not just the destructive power, but the all the help.
Call signs. How do like pilots even like come out of that? Because all the names I see, right, all like very random one.
Okay, I think call signs are generally one or two syllable.
Oh.
There will be one or two call signs that they desire, and typically you probably wouldn't get the one that you want unless you really invest a lot into obtaining that.
Wait, you don't pick your own call sign?
You cannot write yourself.
So you can propose a couple of call signs, but eventually it will be up to your unit's management to give you a call sign.
That's so strange. So they have a meeting where they're like, okay, we'll just call
her. Yeah, call sign naming event that multiple people will get their call signs.
It match like your personality, that kind of thing?
Sometimes it does, but it's really pretty random like how people want their call signs.
What's yours, sir?
Oh, so I don't have one yet because I'm still not tactical qualified. So for my squadron, we have to be tech qualified in order to get call signs.
I see. So if you had a choice, then what you want to be?
Must I really say?
Is it cannot
say? That means you probably shouldn't go over
there. No lah. Okay, so I would choose the call sign jukebox. Yes.
Love it.
Oh.
Love it.
Yeah, very retro, you know.
Quite cool.
Why?
I think it's a name that actually dates back to very fond memories I had during the start of my career at basic military training. What happened was that a few platoonmates and I decided to lead the platoon into singing songs in order to keep our spirits high during the 24-click route march. Yeah, so we sang many songs that night. We sang like contemporary hits all the way to National Day songs.
Yeah,
so
contemporary. Like what? John Legend, all of me.
Really like every other song you can think of, like that's not like military or National Day related, we just like sang all we could.
So you were the leader.
A few of my platoonmates and myself, so we took the lead and we just like sang along. So yeah, it was quite remarkable because I think we managed to sing throughout the whole 24 kilometers and that was about 6 hours in total.
Huh?
Right. Yeah. So because you have flying qualifications from the U Flying Club, right, you could have gone commercial and you could have gone military. Do you think the monetary trade-off for you going military is really big?
Actually, I don't think so because our remuneration is pretty much strategically positioned to really be a premium to enhance our appeal as well as to attract more individuals to join. And I think it's very important to have a competitive total comms package, which the military also sees that and recognizes that. So we really peg it competitively to really attract people to join our ranks. Yeah, and I think beyond monetary considerations, right, there are also a wide range of benefits that we offer.
They like include, what, like what?
Yeah, there's like very comprehensive medical insurance coverage. Oh. We have like good annual leave entitlements as well as a very diverse range of corporate welfare perks. So that aligns with the advantages of being part of the civil service. Oh. Yeah, but I think for the benefits of the various schemes can actually refer to our website at RSAF Careers. So it lists down quite comprehensively all the benefits for the schemes like EOS, EWOS.
Right. Yes. I have no idea what's all that. You are what if?
I'm MDES.
Just return, we got it. Yeah. I create a new one.
For myself, I also got a sign-on bonus of $10,000 because I'm a graduate holder, so I'm a degree holder. But I do know that during that time for A-level or poly graduates, right, they will get $20,000.
Huh? Huh? You got less? Huh?
Yes, I got less.
But the basic, wait, why? But the basic higher? Like?
Yeah, the basic will be higher.
Oh, it's a bit like so it's the same amount, like, probably. Yeah. They just give you first or give it.
What about if I'm a poly graduate?
And
when
I get $20,000.
I just get that. Like, the degree, man. Like, I just get it. Like.
So, is that what happened to you, sir?
So I don't have a sign-on bonus.
How come?
But I was offered a scholarship.
That's more than that.
But for our Air Force engineers that deal with the maintenance of the house, the current sign-on bonus now is
$36,000.
What an arbitrary. Yeah. What a weird number. Why 36?
Actually, nothing arbitrary on it.
Yeah, that's really why. Like, really, why we never round up to five? Yeah. So I mean, we want more people to join us. And like Fiona mentioned, we see how to cater to the commercial market as well as to give a better premium. As compared to certain sectors, lah.
Yeah. And you think you do this for life?
Definitely. Like I said, I think a military career is something that is very interesting.
Yeah.
And in Singapore, not many organizations deal with military assets.
I mean, I'm glad you fall in love with your job, right? And I think it's a great job, and thank you for your service, right? But I think for many young people that want to join, like especially for myself also. Yeah. So I was at a point where I almost signed on. And I remember thinking my fear, right, was that if I do 5 years later, 6 years later, I serve my bond, then if I realize that this is not for me, then I feel like I have a 10-year experience gap in my career. Was that a fear for you? Because you do missiles all day, right? Then it's very hard to, like, you go and join another industry.
Yeah, I mean, because it's engineering, right? You still have like your engineering.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Unfair advantage. Why stopping you?
Yeah, right. It's not just because of engineering, you still learn like certain soft skills, lah. I mean, we also develop our leadership skills, we have experience managing people on the ground, and these skills are actually very transferable. You know, if you decide to venture in any other industry, right?
Yeah. For pilots, can you really actually just like from the Air Force shift over to become
not a saying you want
to become a commercial pilot?
I think we have a 10-year bond.
Okay.
But with regards to that, I don't think many people are shifting because like what Amaran said, it's a meaningful career to be in the military. And in fact, the SAF and Air Force has like schemes in place, such as we have this savers plan, so savings and employee retirement plan that actually encourages officers to serve out a full career with SAF.
Pension.
Right. Yeah, it's something like a pension. So it actually kind of replaced the old pension system.
We had an old pension system.
Yeah, so what happens is that the SAF will deposit a percentage of the officer's salary every month to this savers account, and that is being like invested with returns generated yearly. And at certain milestones of like our career, we are able to withdraw vested amounts out of these accounts, and the largest amounts that can be vested is like at the end of the career. Right. Yeah, to really encourage us to stay all the way. I think it's a good way of retaining the officers.
All right, and that's it for today. This episode was brought to you by RSAF. So a big thank you to them, and of course, Captain Fiona and ME4 Amaran.
Hey. Woo!
Hope that today's episode has given you a better idea of what a career in the Air Force looks like. And for more information, you can head down over to the links below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Is it like pilots must wear like aviators, that kind? Because every time I see a pilot, right, then the only sunglasses they have, right, is the aviators. Then I don't know whether it's like a thing like all pilots must have.
Actually, those glasses are prescribed by our aeromedical center.
Oh, but why? Like, why must this one only? Why cannot like that?
Oh, actually, the specifics, I honestly do not know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know.
Huh? You know?
It was just the brand that contracted to by the US Air Force to design one for the Air Force, and then it became like that, and so it became traditional.
Oh, everybody.
No, the teardrop shape and the rectangle shape feature larger lenses that provide full coverage for the eye sockets of pilots.
That means the design of that one brand, and then it's just stuck. Yeah.
I thought it's just they want to look cool.
I mean,
it is now.
Secondary.
Oh. Yeah. Now it's just to look cool. Oh.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.